Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
The Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio as we go into the valley. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Rob Sullivan, Paul Sullivan and Martin Adkins of the SE7 pod. Charlton have been very, very busy, not just announcing a couple of signings, three pre-season friendlies as well. And Paul Sullivan, as ever, committed to the cause, committed to Charlton, committed to the Charlton Fan Show, and above all, committed to note-taking, was at all of them.
Absolutely, and it's got to be done. I mean, the players over the last two games in particular, Ebbsfleet on Tuesday night and Dagenham and Redbridge last night, they shared it. So the likes of Lyle Taylor played 60 minutes on Tuesday, 30 last night, and vice versa for the other players.
So Lee's giving everyone a chance.
Yeah, absolutely, and building up the fitness. But for big hitters like myself, I mean, it was 90-90-90. For the three games, so I'm exhausted with all this note take. Well, I tried to be a little bit discerning on Saturday.
You're always discerning.
Thank you.
I hope you're planting a tree for all this paper that you're writing on.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? I was back to my old habits last night. Copious note taking, I'm afraid.
Copious note taking.
Yes.
So what made your pen go so quickly? Why were the juices flowing?
Well, it was a much improved performance last night, Johnny. Very poor on Tuesday night.
Yeah, what went wrong? 2-1 defeat to Ebbsfleet is not a result anyone would really have expected. Yeah. What happened?
No, the only thing is it was just one of those off nights. I think Lee Bowyer alluded to the fact that he really put them through their paces on Monday with a lot of running.
Right, so he knackered his players.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And unfortunately, it did show, especially the so-called strong side, which he put out for the hour on Tuesday, which you would probably expect a bit more from them. It just wasn't happening, and they had some big boys in that Ebbsfleet side, and they got a penalty to go 1-0 up, and that spurred them on. But the 30-minute boys, who then obviously continued for 60 yesterday, I mean, they didn't actually officially lose on Tuesday night, you could say. And they continued the good form last night, going 3-0 up at half-time. So some good all-round performances last night. It was encouraging.
Brendan Werdu, he's top scorer, 3 goals.
Tremendous,
you know, he's really staked the claim, isn't he, with Bowyer. It's not hard to ignore for him now, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, he gets himself forward. I mean, officially he's the wing-back. And, you know, he's got a nice first touch. And last night's goal, he put away beautifully on the volley. Great ball crossfield from Lewis Page, who, by the way, is looking good again. He was doing some good runs down that left flank. And, put away with aplomb. And one or two other encouraging performances from...
Ben Amos, how did he do?
Yeah, Ben, I mean, to be fair, he didn't have a lot to do on Tuesday. He had an hour's outing Tuesday night and half an hour last night. But just going to Dylan, you just feel... Dylan's even more focused now.
Yeah, he's got to be.
And he made a couple of good saves both Tuesday and Wednesday night. And I think on Saturday as well. So, yeah, it's all looking good.
Well, I've been fighting fires on Twitter this week.
Yeah, tell us about that, Martin.
Well, Dylan, there's a couple of lads on Twitter, which is fair enough. You know, it's their opinion. I just don't agree with it. Just saying that I thought Amos was a better goalkeeper. And, you know, my argument was Amos couldn't even get on the bench at Millwall second half of last season. Only played 12 games. So where are they getting that from? And, you know, Dylan was consistently very good last season. So, you know, I'm going to defend Dylan on Twitter and other social media platforms. Mm-hmm. So be
it. Going to be on Bebo, just saying. He's a fantastic goalkeeper.
I just got a bit agitated by it. So I had to defend him.
No, I think personally, I think for me he still starts as number one going into the season.
Think so.
Just in terms of the friendlies, I think Bowyer mentioned that he hasn't been able to play two up top yet forwards because they don't have the forwards at their disposal. I think Anike's been sitting in behind the number 10 role, which is, I think, where they're going to see him this season, the tip of the diamond maybe, I guess, based on what we were playing last season. But... he hasn't had the opportunity yet, am I right, to play Taylor and Correct. Up front together. So that's yet to come, I guess, in terms of how we line up. And we've got to see that partnership. So,
A little bit of gamesmanship from Bowyer, I think, maybe nudging Mr. Duchatelet to spend some money or give us some funds.
We definitely need one more forward, I think.
I would imagine he'll play Taylor and Bond possibly on Saturday at Gillingham together and see how they fare. But going back to the Dylan Ben Amos thing, the most important thing, rather than sort of bickering about who's the best, we've got two really good goalkeepers
absolutely.
In the building.
So I think it was this season is the first season since the 14-15 season that we've had a full two, because the rest have always been loans, haven't they? So that's positive. Two right backs in Solly and Dick Steele, two left backs in Purrington and Page. Taking shape. I unfortunately haven't been able to go to any of the friendlies and take as many notes as my uncle, but have you, who has anyone caught your eye? Anyone else apart from Sarpong? Why do?
I mean, quite a few. I mean, Darren Prattley. I mean, he's just showing what a real leader he is.
Isn't he 47?
Yeah,
he's up there.
But the thing
great
is,
pro.
As you see with my good self, Johnny, you know,
better with age,
wisdom. It's you know, it's
fine wine.
Yeah,
fine wine,
and lots of notes from friendlies in your in your loft.
Apart from his carpal tunnel with all the writing.
Martin's laughing too hard at all of this as well. Should note, by the way, that after Paul's sensational effort on the shirt front last week, where he came dressed ready for the Giro d'Italia, Martin has stepped it up a notch with a Charlton shirt from 1995, which is sort of purple and green and white. It's quite
classic.
Something.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
classic.
It's like a...
The old Quasar with the Viglan...
It's like if it's like a fruit salad met a blackjack.
We'll put a picture up on our Twitter page.
It's like
it's like
a Plymouth shirt went clubbing.
That's a good one. But what about these other shirts that have come out this week? Huddersfield Town shirt.
Let's talk about this, because there are lots of people, and some people have got boringly clever with it and gone and looked at the FA regulations on advertising. There are people saying Paddy Power have got previous of going on the wind-up, of doing PR stunts, and they're saying this is a wind-up because one would design a kit that bad.
It's got to be.
In theory, they're not allowed to have a sash across the shirt specifically advertising a sponsor. But if it is a joke... The club have really doubled down as well, because they've got photos of the lads wearing it in training. Yeah. They've shared it on all their social media. They played a game in it. So, would it bother you? I mean, if Charlton, we're going to be talking kit in just a moment's time. If Charlton released a really horrid shirt, would that be a problem?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm not a massive... I mean, I've only worn this shirt tonight just for having a joke last week, but... I'm not a massive shirt wearer. I don't really normally buy them. I think it's more really for the under 21s, really.
Well, I was going to say, what's your opinion of middle aged men upwards wearing shirts?
Shouldn't be wearing them.
Should
personally.
Not be done.
No.
Yes.
Full kits are a bit of a.
Maybe wear one to the gym or something.
I actually struggled on the day of the playoff final because I haven't bought a shirt in years.
Yeah.
And I was reliant on my father to bring round a collection of shirts over the last few seasons.
What does make me laugh is when the new shirts come out, you do get the middle-aged men literally going into meltdown whether they like them or not, you know, so...
Many, many years ago, I think it actually lost me a girlfriend because I chose... No, seriously. It was a World Cup match. I think it was England versus Republic of Ireland, 1990, and... In my head,
did you take it off? Is that what lost you the girlfriend?
Yeah, no, I didn't have to take it off. I'm sure she just looked, thought, what's it all about?
Hang on. What shirt was it?
It was a Charlton shirt.
What, like the Woolwich one?
It might have been the one I got off Mr. Humphrey.
Blue away one?
Yes.
Well, that was a decent, but it was your first date or?
It was about a second stroke, third date. I didn't get a fourth date. And that was the...
You went into a friendly to write some notes.
Yeah.
To get over the disappointment of being knocked back by this woman when she saw you in your Woolwich, Charlton.
I hasten to add, this is a few years before I met my present beautiful wife.
Good save. Good save. Is she listening?
Yeah. No, what they do, they clock in about 9:05 to make sure I am where I tell them I'm going to be. And then I shouldn't say turn off, because you shouldn't turn off Love Sport Radio.
Never.
But they don't really understand the minutiae of Charlton Athletic and all that goes into it.
And in terms of that minutiae, had there been anything going on in pre-season that's caught the eye that you weren't expecting? For example, Macaulay Bonn, how's he looked?
Yeah, I mean, he had a sort of slowish, steady start on Saturday and Tuesday. But last night, he got his opening goal and he took it very well.
He's a finisher, isn't he?
Yeah, and I looked at him very carefully as he sort of went on to goal, and I thought, is he going to panic? Is he going to, you know, looking for that calmness? And he had it, and it was good to see. So he's a goal scorer.
And did you, I think you mentioned a couple of times last night, without the likes of Billick and Cullen back in that team, just trying to find that ball to open someone up or open the team up, so to speak.
Definitely. I mean, Lee Bowie got what he wanted last night. We retained the ball, we kept the possession, so if there's nothing on, it was going back to Lockyer and Prattley, moving it around. But I could see, for instance, Callum Harriott sort of on the line, trying to make his run. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, we won 4-0 last night. We took our chances. But, yeah, we didn't have that invention, obviously, that we had last season. I mean, that midfield was tremendous. And, of course, this just underlines what a fantastic signing it was today to get old Johnny Williams through the door.
I mean, as I said last season, we definitely had the best midfield in the division, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's a big steps to follow, isn't it? So we do need midfielders.
Absolutely. Are we talking about Johnny Williams now or later, Johnny?
Well, let's have a word about Johnny Williams now, because he has re-signed. There were worries that the club wouldn't be able to afford his wages. How pleased are you to see him come back through the door?
It's brilliant. And, you know, reportedly he's taken a massive drop in wages. And my faith has been restored a little bit today with footballers in general, because obviously with Johnny doing what he's done, and also, I mean, hearing about the problems at Bolton, I mean, those guys haven't been paid for 20 weeks, and I've experienced when a boss hasn't paid me, and my experience is that when they're showing signs that they can't pay you, the writing's on the door and it's not going to get any better. So I really do feel sorry for the players and especially the staff behind the scenes at Bolton, but great for Johnny doing what he's doing.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he was brilliant for us last season, wasn't he? I mean, that 20-minute cameo at Wembley just showed us all what we can expect to see from him. And as I said earlier, you know, a few shows ago, if we can get 20 minutes every week like that from Williams, I'd be happy with that. You know, and you could just tell how much he loved being at the club. He went on the pre-season tour, and as Bowie said today, he's taken a big pay cut. You know, so we've got to be happy with him.
I'm massively happy. I think just the reaction on social media today, everyone was saying what a lovely bloke he is as well. Everyone was talking about.
We put a tweet out, everyone happy. You know, we had little Liam saying he's happy as a pig in, you know, that saying.
Oh, yes. Pig in a blanket.
You know, dropped his wage, what a legend, from Lee McMahon and Martin Pezzett. You know, he's delighted. So we're all happy.
Is there a question, without meaning to rain on anybody's parade, about the injury record?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You've got to. You know, he's 25 and he's probably played less than 200 games, you know. When you put it into context with other players of that age, have probably gone into two... Well, look at Solly, he's up to 300s and whatever, so...
Yeah.
We've got to worry about that, but then it's up to us to manage it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's that hopefully... Yeah, also the injuries, you can't comment on the individual injuries, what they're like for the player and how they respond and how they react and sort of rehabilitate. But I'm just hoping that this can be kind of a fresh start for him now, based on where we are and what we've got to look forward to in the coming season.
If you consider under Carl Robinson, we had a terrible injury record, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, we had real bad injuries, didn't we? And then since Bowie's come in, they've tweaked something somewhere along the line, maybe in the training, or we didn't seem to get that many injuries. I know we had Joe Rebo was out for a few weeks, wasn't it? And obviously Williams got an injury in an actual match, but the actual training ground injuries, we seem to have sort of like knocked them out, haven't we?
Well, our wonderful producer this evening, Max, is a Palace fan, and which I can only apologise
for. I'm so sorry.
He's doing a very good job, though. And I was talking to him earlier. Max, you were saying that when Williams came through at Palace, lots of you rated him more highly than even Wilf Zaha.
100%. Yeah. Johnny Williams and Wilf Zaha came through at the same time, and Williams was a much more polished player with and without the ball. He knew what to do. He had the technique. Zaha had kind of the physical attributes and the pace and the raw kind of skill. Williams had the vision and the control, even at that very young age. And age 18, 17, he was playing week in, week out in a championship team. Class, class player.
Yeah. How good do you think he can be for Charlton if he stays fit?
I was amazed when I heard that he'd left at the end of the season, because I watched the playoff final and he came on. He absolutely changed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Changed the whole tone of the game.
Yeah.
You know, a big reason that Charlton went up, and I think he could be really, really good for them this season if he gets the chance, if he stays fit.
Absolutely. Can't disagree with any of that, you know. The only thing I think that's missing from Johnny Williams' game is his goals, end product, really. His assists and everything, fantastic. Just needs to.
Yeah, he's very driving forward when he gets the ball. He's dribbling, his sort of centre of gravity. We're a very skillful player. But as you rightly say, if he can add goals and some final balls to his game, we could have a real player there.
It's a gamble, but it could be a very good one. Talking of gambles, Martin Adkins made one with that glorious shirt, wearing it into the studio. We're talking kit a lot this evening, and coming up, we'll be talking about Charlton's new one with Kenny Wilkins of the Charlton Superstore.
This is Love Sport.
Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and we are in kit release season. It's always a big moment for the fans, a big moment for the clubs as well. And I'm delighted to say we've got an expert on the line. We're joined by Kenny Wilkins, who's assistant store manager of the Charlton Superstore. Good evening, Kenny. Thanks for joining us. What's the fan response been to these new kits so far?
Well, at first it was a 50-50 split. So some fans didn't like the design of the kit, and then some fans did like the design of the kit. But today we've had some excellent responses on the kit launch. We've been quite busy, to be fair. We didn't expect to be busy today because obviously it's during the week. Kids are still at school, and obviously the weather was quite poor. But as soon as we opened the doors, people started flocking in and buying the shirt, which was a brilliant response.
Yeah, and Kenny, for those who are not aware, could you just describe the new shirt?
Yeah, sure. The new shirt is obviously predominantly red, and it's got some thin white pinstripes going down the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it also, there's extra detail into the shirt this year, because obviously we're symbolising 100 years at the Valley, because obviously the Valley's 100 years old this season. So what we've done, we've added some gold, a gold sword at the back, and we've got some gold writing inside the shirt that says the Valley 100 years old. So the club have really gone into detail this season with the shirt, just to celebrate the Valley being 100 years old.
Yeah. Some nice touches there, yeah.
Excellent, Kenny. And have you got your shirt yet yourself?
We have, yes.
Excellent, good
all
man.
All the staff got a shirt today to wear on kit launch.
Can I ask, Kenny, what is your take on the etiquette around names on the back of shirts? So obviously there's nothing wrong with getting a current player's name if you wanted Taylor, but there are some people who take quite a dim view of people getting their surnames on the back. So if Martin got Charlton 9 Adkins, would you personally go for Wilkins on the back of your shirt?
I actually do. I have
good man.
I have Wilkins 7 on the back of my shirt because 7's my lucky number.
Yes, you see, I'm all about that. If I were to buy a shirt of a club who I may or may not support, I would want Burrow on the back. I'd want Burrow 14 because that's my lucky number. But I just never could do it because I'd be ashamed. I'd be afraid. Not ashamed. I'd be afraid.
It's up to people what they want on the back of their shirts. They can have it on there if they want. And they don't have to have it. It's entirely up to them what they spend their money on, to be fair to you. But I'm all for having players' names or your own name on the back of the shirts.
And Kenny, what, I mean, we were discussing just before you came on, middle-aged men and football shirts. What do you think is an acceptable upper limit for a gentleman's apparel?
You're never too old to wear a football shirt.
Good retail man. That's what I like. Any news on the away kit? Not the blue one. The second away kit. Is there any news?
The club are keeping that quite secret at the moment.
Fair enough.
Like, we haven't seen designs of it either in the shop. So you know what the club are like with kids. Yeah. They like to keep it close to their hearts.
Any whisper when it's going to be announced? Though, do you know anything then?
To be fair, we haven't been told anything at the moment because obviously, I don't know if you've seen, the club are starting to introduce things in dribs and drabs.
Yeah.
Mm. Like they introduced the third shirt last week before the Welling game. And obviously they announced the home shirt a couple of days ago. Obviously with the away, hopefully the away kit is imminent, to be fair to you, when they announce that.
Okay. Well, I do like the two kits that have come out, so I might come and buy the. I am up the club tomorrow, so I might pop in and buy the red one tomorrow.
No worries. We'll give you a discount.
Cheers.
Now, Kenny, people know you. You're quite a character around the club, and I remember you on Betty's coach, and obviously you were at Betty's funeral on Monday, which was a great moving tribute for Betty. Would you just like to say a few words and your memories of Betty?
Yeah. I started going on Betty's coach when I was 14. I'm now 36. And Betty was the life and soul of the coach, basically. With Betty, it wasn't just going to watch an away game. It was the whole the experience. She was like everyone's mum. Like, if we had an argument on the coach after the game, if Charlton had lost, if we had arguments over players leaving or managers making the wrong tactical decisions, she was there just to bang our heads together. And at a eulogy, when the chaplain was reading out the eulogy and her daughters, there was a moment that when they said about kids misbehaving on the back of the coach, I had to hide my head behind one of the programmes because I was one of those kids that misbehaved on the back of the coach quite a lot. she was a life and soul. Honestly, SE7 have lost a magnificent supporter. Yeah. And God rest her soul. She's up there with my nan, and a lot of people have probably lost their loved ones over the last few years.
And it's worth mentioning that the club was well represented with Chris Parks and Tracy Leeburn at the funeral. And then it was great to see Lyle Taylor. I hear he came along to the wake afterwards, which was fantastic.
Lyle Taylor came to the wake, and he went round to every single person at the wake, just shaking their hands, and just everyone was just talking to him about Betty. It was a brilliant, brilliant touch by the club. That's what I like about the club. They do appreciate the fans when it comes to things like that.
I couldn't agree more, Kenny. I think when people understand that kind of community spirit that we've built up over the years as a club and how important that is, that's absolutely crucial. And it was fantastic to see Lyle do that. And just in terms of, although you've got your role in the Superstore, you're also official club tour guide, aren't you, for people that do the stadium tours? Well, talk us through that part of your role for the club.
Yeah, it's funny enough. I took over from someone last year. They said, would you like to just just show some people around the stadium, really? I did that, and it just took off from there, basically. What happens is I got asked by Callum Sullivan, who's the club's he's the club development officer. It's like the club development officer. Mm-hmm. And every Thursday I take fans around the club who want to see behind the scenes, and I give them a bit of history about the club, like in-depth history. We go behind the scenes where fans wouldn't normally go, to be fair to you.
And Kenny, just to interrupt you. I know you want to mention about getting fans to donate some away shirts. Just explain what you need there.
Yeah, what I do, I like to put away teams' jerseys up in the away dressing room, just to give them a bit of a bit of ambiance of what it'd be like going into a changing room of all different away teams that have been in the valley. I've got a lot of Man United jerseys in there at the moment. Obviously, being a Man United fan, sorry for saying it, everyone.
Ooh.
Yes, I know.
Came from nowhere.
Yes, it has come from nowhere. You all know that I'm a Man United fan.
We do now.
Being at Charlton for 21 years, working there, my allegiance has changed dramatically from Man U to Charlton.
Yeah.
I just want people, if they can, donate some shirts, even if they're Millwall, Palace, obviously a big rivalry between the two clubs. Even if it's like a Macclesfield Town shirt.
We've got to draw a line at Palace, surely.
Do you want a Thai cycling shirt that my uncle had last week?
Yes.
If they played in front of the cupboard end, I'll happily put it in the chain.
Well, we're not sure if it's a Thai club side or just some shirt that's got
off an old market in Thailand. But I'll come in and show it to you one day, and make a judgment.
Yeah.
But talking about shirts and dressing up, Kenny, there was a bit. You had a bit of a reputation, so the long tradition of many clubs to wear fancy dress on the final game of the season. I seem to remember you being decked in dressed as a nun, and amongst other things. Talk us through that.
What happened at the end? A bunch of my mates. We said at the end of every away game on the domestic season, we'd all dress up in fancy dress. So it all started from Derby Derby away when we got, and sadly we got relegated from the Championship to League One, and I decided to dress up as Daffy, the only gay in the village, in the full outfit with like no pants and underneath. You can see me bulge. Sorry for saying it, everyone. Even though it's a radio station. But you can imagine there was me, SpongeBob SquarePants, Jack Sparrow, you know, trying to defend himself, because obviously Derby won 1-0 to stay up. And there's all of us, all of them that are coming over to try and start on us. And there's me going, come on then, guys. And you've got SpongeBob's, you've got Captain Jack Sparrow.
You wouldn't want to fight Captain Jack Sparrow, though, would you?
Well, I don't know. But, you know what I mean, I wouldn't mind fighting SpongeBob, because I think he's annoying. His voice is so annoying.
But quite soft to punch as well, you'd assume.
Yeah, quite soft to punch. Also, a few games I remember, I dressed up as Cinderfella, which is obviously in a full ball gown dress.
I remember that one.
It was against Preston when we drew 2-2, that famous season where we won the league with Sir Chrissy Powers, the manager. I went down to the front and I've never seen Chrissy Powell blush so much. Oh. He went to me, what are you wearing? I was like, I'm only here for fun.
And Kenny, would you wear the new Huddersfield kit?
Ooh. What, with Paddy Power down? It's like you've awarded this jockey, the winning jockey of the Grand National. I think that shirt's an absolute disgrace, to be fair to you.
Speak your mind.
Sit on the fence, mate.
Yeah. No, the reason why I say it's a disgrace, I used to have a gambling problem. And I don't like promoting gambling companies. And last year, promoting a shirt with Betdaq on, okay, I didn't like it. But obviously, part of my job, I have to promote the shirt, and I did. I kept my opinions to myself. But what Betdaq have done this year with the new Children with Cancer charity logo on the shirt is absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, fantastic.
I've got to applaud Betdaq, and also, it feels like we've got a shirt that belongs to the club, belongs to the fans again.
Yeah,
with like what the shirt symbolises and what the actual charity symbolises as well. So I applaud everyone at Charlton, and obviously with Betdaq obviously paying for the sponsor logo, which is for the whole, you know, the whole Children with Cancer logo, is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, excellent to see. And Kenny, just one final question. Obviously, we'd like to get your thoughts on that fantastic experience that we had at Wembley. But also the lead up to Wembley in the shop. That must have been a little bit manic.
It was crazy. To be fair, last year, yes, we got to the semi-finals. It wasn't as busy as what we expected it to be. But last season, it was absolutely amazing. There was fans that have not been to see the club play for obvious reasons. They have their own reasons why they don't want to come to the club. But it was to see them come back into the shop, buying the merchandise, and actually going to Wembley to see Charlton win in the last second with Bauer. Honestly, I'm getting goosebumps now talking about
it. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I was thinking about Betty as well, and all the fans that I know have lost their lives who couldn't watch this, but obviously Betty was back at the hospice watching it, and I'm so glad we won. And obviously it brought all the fans close together again, which is something that I've wanted for 3 or 4 years now. It was brilliant to see.
Wonderful stuff. And Kenny, just before we let you get going, I've got to ask you, what's your favourite Charlton kit of all time?
My favourite Charlton kit was all time, I would say, would be the Mesh 1998-99 playoff final. It's because it was worn for the first time at Wembley, and obviously we won in it in that famous game against Sunderland.
Yes. You're always doing that. You're always winning these playoff finals. Kenny, lovely to speak to you. Thanks so much for your time. Kenny Wilkins, the assistant store manager of the Charlton Superstore, talking new kits, old kits, and at one point, no kit at all. But time to talk about new signings who could be wearing them. Ben Amos, as well as a legend of the week.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and it's time for your legend of the week.
Sport.
Gents, who have you gone for this week?
We've gone for an old-timer, a great centre-forward who played for Charlton from 1972 to 1975.
I remember him well.
I knew you would. And basically, he had an unbroken sequence of 139 games, scored 50-odd goals, and his nickname was King Arthur, but his name is Arthur Horsfield. And basically, he was, I guess, the Jan Kermigan of his time. Yeah. He was a great header of the ball and really had that great art of heading. I know you've done a bit of research as well, Martin.
Well, it's just
did you come across that one?
Yes, but it was the, you know, he put it himself. He never missed a game in the 3 years he was at Charlton. So 139 games consecutively.
Yes.
You know, 53 goals, as you already mentioned. But one little fact I've got for you.
Please.
Whilst he was at Charlton, he coached at St Austin's Secondary School.
He did indeed.
So what would be good, if you've got any listeners out there that was at school when Arthur Horsfield was coaching you, get in touch. Give us a call.
We do know one.
Yes.
0208 7020 558. Give us
John
a call.
John Lowe, please call us.
Yes.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, I was talking to my brother about Arthur Horsfield, and basically it was so much simpler in those days. So I think he was on a show back in the 1990s, one of the predecessors to this show, Charlton Chat. Do you remember Charlton Chat in the 1990s? Yep. Kevin Nolan used to be a regular contributor then. And Arthur was a guest back then. And he said, it's quite simple. He said, you'd either have Colin Powell or maybe Mike Flanagan, who used to play a lot on the wing in those days. I used to see them running down the wing and I'd get myself in position and be ready to meet the ball. He'd say to the guys, I don't want it literally on my head, but put it into a space for me to run into. And he got many, many goals. And my brother particularly pointed out one goal. He was standing behind the goal at London Road in Peterborough. I think it was in 1974. And saw up close what the art and the skill of heading a ball and the technique
involved. And a proper ball back then.
Of course, yes. And yeah, he likened him to Jan Kermigan. But the interesting thing with Arthur is that he scored a lot of goals for Charlton. But in the last season he was with us, he went from centre forward to centre half.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we had a tweet in from London Innit Geezer. He said, quality player, played in our promotion season, King Arthur.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and he had a bit of what we could call a bit of attitude. I know when Charlton said he was surplus to requirements, he was very unhappy about being moved on. I think he went to, was it Watford?
Watford, yes.
Watford, yeah.
And then Graham Taylor got binned him.
Yes, and he had a massive row when he was doing so well for Middlesbrough in the early 60s. He had a massive row with their then manager, then Stan Anderson, and basically almost come to blows. So, yeah, he was a bit of a character.
Yeah, well, so reading on my research, because he left Swindon, or he came into a training ground one day and the manager said, oh, I've sold you to Charlton.
A record fee.
No. When the Swindon manager.
Oh, yes, sorry.
It's a record fee, and we'd sold Ray Tracy to Swindon for fee. So
yes.
It's quite interesting. So he was obviously a well thought of player to be bought for so much money.
And forgive my age here, because I don't know too much about him, but was he up front along with Killer? Or were they
a bit before his time?
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, certainly that last season he was with us, he played in the 74-75 season, which was our promotion season.
Right.
So he would have played a lot of games at centre-half.
Okay.
And he according to Peter, my brother, he played in that final game against Preston at the Valley, which clinched promotion. And then the following season he was released.
Right.
Another little interesting fact, he became a bit of a journeyman. Then I think he played a little bit of time for Dartford.
He did,
and
yes.
They had their old ground then. And when they demolished the old ground and they put a new housing estate on, they named a street after him, Horsfield Close.
Ah, okay.
So there you go.
That is really quite something, to be so good at football that they go, you know what?
Well, I've been thinking about this before the show.
You're waiting for your close.
I have come across Sullivan Road, but I was thinking about yourself, Johnny. Barrow Boulevard would be a good one.
I don't know. Does that too alliterative for me, Paul? Barrow Lane, possibly.
Okay. I've got one for Martin.
What's that?
Atkins Alley.
That sounds like a place I do not ever want to go.
I wouldn't
want to
go there either.
Oh, dear. Yes.
I think we'll move on quickly to a man who deserves a street named after him. He's a real friend of the show, rings in every week without fail. Ahmed is with us on the line from Dartford. Ahmed, you want to chat Johnny Williams? You want to chat Ben Amos? What's your take on these signings?
I was going to talk about Johnny. Hi, guys.
Hello, Ahmed.
I want to talk about Johnny Williams. I mean, basically, fantastic signing. But I think one of your panelists made the key point, which was if he needs improving by value in one area, it's actually can scoring goals. He does everything else but score goals. And then compare and contrast him to what our alleged interest in Hotspur from Bolton, because he does the opposite. He actually scores a lot of goals, but he's not as good as Johnny Williams in terms of like experience and ability in other areas.
Ahmed, now that we've got Williams, do you see our interest in Otsuma ending? What do you think?
If I was Bowyer, I'd go to our illustrious owner and say, I want a marquee signing. I want to make odds for that marquee signing.
Mm. Yeah. And you're pleased with...
I'm being greedy because I want both. I want to see as good a midfield as possible like we had last season.
No, and I think we are probably... That's the area that we need players in, bodies in the most at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
And obviously Amos as well. What's your take on Ben?
Absolutely fantastic signing. It fits in perfectly with what Lee Bowyer wanted. He is not going to kick up a fuss if he's competing with Dills and he isn't always first choice.
And would you, I mean, we ran a poll on Charlton Life earlier this week, just to canvass people's opinions. Who's your preferred number one going into the start of the season?
Well, I imagine basically Dills is going to be number one. And it's up to Amos to try and fight his way into the number one spot.
Now, Ahmed, I know last week you mentioned on the show that you were going to go down to Welling. Did you manage to get down there?
I did go to Welling, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a good game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good.
So what was your general thoughts on the players that were on view?
I liked, wasn't it, there was a trialist and there was also one of the younger players. I can't remember, is it Wiradu or something? I thought those two particularly stood out in that game, actually.
Yeah, there was a couple. There's Abraham Odo, who scored the second goal.
Yeah, he stood out. Yeah, I think that was the guy I'm talking about.
Yes,
yeah,
he took his goal very well, didn't he?
They were very good.
Yeah.
He's a signing from Tooting and Mitcham, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I believe you're right, yeah.
And a very skillful fella in midfield who's played a big part in all three games. I think it's pronounced Quiterna.
I think he's also got three goals, hasn't he?
That was Wydoo, yes.
He impressed me as well. I thought very impressed with him.
Yeah, we just need to let you know that, well, not you, you probably know, but he's dropped the sarpong. It's now Brendan Wydoo.
Brendan Wydoo.
Interesting.
Oh,
mate,
right, okay.
That other young lad.
I dropped the sarpong once. It was really painful.
Oh, yeah. Just an interesting note on that other young lad you're talking about, Junior Quintana or something. He's not long back, 15-year-old, got stabbed in the leg or something, so he's... Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Made a good recovery then.
Yeah, I read about him. He's doing a lot of work in the community for the club, so like just to, you know, combat knife crime and things like that, which is good.
Yeah, good, very good. Any ideas, any other signings potentially that are on the line?
Well, I think, as I understood it, or rumours that, you know, I think Bowyer said after the game he was trying to get two in, wasn't he, before the Gillingham game.
That's what I heard, yeah.
But we don't know. Are you making your way to Gillingham on Saturday?
I won't be able to make it on Saturday, unfortunately. I would have done otherwise, but I've got other
commitments.
Don't worry,
my uncle's got it covered.
I'm a member of Valley Pass, so if it's being televised again, I'll get to be able to watch it anyway and have a see what's happening.
Yeah, that's been very good with Valley Pass, hasn't it?
I think it's brilliant, the fact that you can now watch the game rather than just listen. I mean, you know, it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you can tune in at 7:20. I've been very keen on these 7:30 kickoffs again. It's nice, just a little bit earlier, and then you can get away and you've still got a bit of an evening.
It's less time in the pub, though.
More time to make notes, though.
I love evening kickoffs. Yes. I love it when we have Tuesday night games at the Valley in the evenings. I find the whole experience is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, we've got one early on, haven't we, with Forest on the Wednesday, and that's being televised as well. So that should be a good... I can't remember the last time we had a Wednesday night home game.
I was thinking that. Normally, it's with Sky, it's every other day but Wednesday.
I should just be over my jet lag to come see that one.
Oh, good man. Mm.
And it's worth mentioning to listeners that I think it's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday down at Gillingham.
Oh, right, I didn't know that. Okay, 2 o'clock, yeah.
I hope I'm not misleading anyone there, but I'm pretty certain I saw 2 o'clock. But yeah, great to get you on again, Ahmed. So all's good this week. You're quite. We saw Joe Aribo score tonight for Glasgow Rangers.
I saw that. Yeah, yes. He scored for Rangers. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't think we want to go down that road anymore.
No, we need to move on, don't we?
Say about it. So.
Yeah, he's gone now. Let's move on.
Ahmed, as a final point.
My one final point is this. I hope that this squad that he's being allowed to build, that our illustrious chairman doesn't leave us short at the last minute.
I know, that is the worry. If we have a repeat of January, you can remember how we felt then.
His attitude is that if Bo brings in players who are versatile and flexible and can play in different positions, it's more than likely that means the squad's going to be even smaller than it would otherwise be.
Interestingly, Ahmed, I do believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe there was some sort of sell on clause in Mr. Luckman's
contract. Yeah, that's what I've heard
as
well. Yeah.
He's on his way to Leipzig, as I understand it. And I think that's the one transfer he may have got right with a sell-on clause, because they didn't have one for Konsa.
No.
I don't know about Gomez. But yeah, so but whether or not we're going to see any of that be reinvested in the team is very unlikely.
I would like us to really try hard if both to get Cullen and Bielik back again, if at all possible.
Absolutely.
Ahmed,
and then I think we might surprise people, as Bose has said.
Ahmed, you're always surprising me. Thanks ever so much for your call. Ahmed there,
getting
in touch from Dartford on 0208 7020 558. Interesting to talk about versatility there, because Ben Amos has come in. He's a very good goalkeeper, but I've heard he's also quite handy up front.
This is Love Sport.
Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And if there's anything old-fashioned and lovable, it's a trial. It doesn't happen too often in modern football, but Callum Harriott is being tried out by the Addicts, being tried out by Lee Bowyer. He's having a look at him. He's being quite positive. Do the fans agree? Should you be signing this lad?
I wasn't a massive fan of him when he was here first time around. He showed glimpses of something, you know. That his last game for us was a hat-trick at Blackpool, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember that well.
You know, but then he was one of those players really frustrated me, because his final ball was just terrible, and, you know, we'll see.
I mean, and also I think for some fans, there's a question around his kind of temperament in terms of his sort of... how they perceive his persona. That, for me, is not an issue. I think he always applied himself when he was at the club. I think, personally, I think, as I said, when I found out he was on the bench, going to be, you know, having a run with us over the pre-season, I said, I trust Bowyer and Gallen implicitly with what they've done and who they have brought into the club. And I, you know, if they deem him good enough, then that's good enough for me, personally.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to trust Bowyer in that, haven't we? You know, Bowyer won't sign him if he's not been impressed with him, not just to have a body in the place. I mean, Paul saw him play the other night, and what was interesting was Paul saying he's always on that last man. He always used to get offside quite a lot, didn't he, when he was in the younger thing. But, you know, he's only played 24 games in 3 years, you know, so his injury record's not great, so he's got to prove himself on that side
as well. Absolutely, and I guess there's a lot of players in that situation these days where they've kind of... free agents, and they're not attached to a club, and there are probably more players in that kind of bracket than you know there are clubs at the moment in terms of where they can go. So I think a lot of players realise that now. Maybe the day of the kind of if you do find yourself out of contract. I mean, a good example, I can't remember the chat we had, the forward we had a couple of years ago, Hulse.
Oh, Rob Hulse.
And he was a good player. Yeah. And he ended up, couldn't get a contract, I think, for a couple of years, a couple of months after he left us, and he just packed it in.
Yeah.
Retired.
Ex-Derby
So you've got, you know, the best player in the world, we had Simon Church. You know, I know he didn't hit the heights when he was with us. He didn't, you know, sort of come across, but he went over to, I think he went abroad, then he went to Holland, maybe. Simon, I think
he's got a great handball go up at Sheffield Wednesday,
brilliant. But I mean, just again, that is another example of you know, it didn't quite go right for him after he left us, and I think again he struggled. So there are a lot of players out there that probably do need to, you know, if they get this chance, take it with both hands, certainly. And I think Harriott is definitely in that ballpark, that bracket.
Yeah, it's horses for courses, isn't it? Some players suit certain clubs. I think the positive side with regard to Callum Harriott, I mean, he's basically all his football career has been in the Championship. So he's got lots of Championship experience. There is an argument that he would be a good squad player.
Mm.
And also for the comments that people have made about his limitations... I mean, it's something for Bowyer to work on, because he could change the way he plays.
Yeah, and also, I guess, from a, you know, if he's coming into that team off the back of a successful season, I think the benchmark now for the club and the players in the club is that is what's expected of them, and it's a winning team, it's a winning mentality. So if you're going to be part of it, you've got to fit in and you've got to adapt, and we won't take anyone who isn't going to put a shift in. So I'm sure Bowyer will be able to work with that. And if he does eventually sign, that's the the deal.
Talking of signings, we've had a WhatsApp into the show from Matt Dainty, who's a Brummie addict. He says, top quality signing in Johnny Williams, and nice to see a footballer take a pay cut to play somewhere he loves. Shows that there are still some good guys out there. The squad is coming together nicely. Get Bielik back and a couple more quality loans, and we'll surprise a few this season. In Boya we trust.
In Boya we do.
Are you going to surprise a few this season? Are you going to be fighting at the top end of the table?
Well, I said last week, give it another couple of weeks, see what signings you get. But I can see a surprise in a few, and I'm aiming for playoffs personally. I don't think it's insurmountable. I really don't.
I share your positivity. I don't see any reason if we need to get the bodies in definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, why not? I believe in Bowie. The feel good factor around the club and the team from last season, I would imagine, would carry through. And yeah, I don't see any reason why we more than hold our own and maybe surprise a few people along the way.
I mean, the team spirit is just magnificent. I mean, we saw it in the pre-season friendly videos or the training camp, and then obviously Johnny Williams has come back with a pay cut, Purrington's come back. So I'm positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there was a very good interview with Chuck Saniki today following the Dagenham game last night. And he touched upon it, that he's come into the club. He's seen what a very good team spirit he is. And I'd like to echo what he said, basically. You know, he wants to prove himself in the Championship. I think they all do. And I think the attitude is, we're just going to give it a really good go. Game by game, just go in. Personally, don't plan too much. Just, you know what Bowie's attitude is.
Yeah,
win
the game.
Yeah,
that famous quote.
Exactly,
just,
and see where it takes you. Let's see where it takes you. We need to get safe first. Obviously, he's mentioned that, you know, you've got to be a realist.
Yeah,
but you just don't know. Let's see what goes on.
We've had a tweet into the show as well from Jason McGovern of Tottenham Fan Show fame, who says, excellent show, well done to all. So even
though
in Champions League finals, getting involved with Championship football.
Thank you very much.
The worry with Harriott is similar to the worry with Williams, if we're honest. He only made two appearances for Reading.
Yep.
That was injury-based.
Yep.
These players are going to be cheap. We've seen it where Sam Byram's gone to Norwich for 750,000. The reason why he's cheap is because he hasn't got a knee.
Hmm.
If Boya's forced to work on a budget, are you going to end up with a squad of crocs?
Maybe. No, I don't know. It's hard, isn't it?
I don't know. I think we didn't have... I mean, we made very, very good use of the loan market last season, and I can see us doing that again when the time is right. But as Boya rightly said, that you don't know who's available until closer to the season when clubs get back in the Premiership and, you know, they take a look at the youngsters and which ones they want to maybe involve in the squad, which ones they want to ship out. That's the thing.
The Premier League have got to name their squads last week of July, I think, isn't it? I think they've got to name their squads sometime then. So that's when we'll find out who we can
get. And we've also got, I think, is it 8th of August for the deadline?
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got to know by then anyway. And, I mean, there's still talk of potentially the likes of Herbie Kane, maybe.
Hopefully.
That'd be a good signing.
I mean, he's come out and said that we're going to take our full allocation of loan signings up to 5. So that means probably another 2 permanent. So there's more coming through the door.
I guess those youngsters as well. We don't know which one's going to be the next one. We think the likes of Morgan,
Laxley,
Doughty. You know, is Mr. Wydou going to get...
Ben Dempsey?
Yeah, I mean, I put it in my notes last night. Basically, they're coming off the production line again.
Yeah.
You know, Aribo's gone, Gomez is gone, Konza's gone. But the next lot are coming through. The Morgans, the Wydous, the Doughtys.
It's an exciting time to be a Charlton fan. We'll be here every step of the way on Love Sport Radio for this Championship season. Join us then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.